pushing myself to finish this part and handle a lot. One thing I miss. Attachments yet land on the ground. One thing I'm missing.
Now there's a company out of Florida that's offering a free microchip implant for Alzheimer's patients. It's to help emergency officials identify people who just really can't remember who they are anymore.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, October 22nd, 2007. And that's right, this would be Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories and check my facts by going to my Live Journal. And you can get there by going to Sean_Kennedy.LiveJournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network. WNY Media Network? What the hell? Are they still broadcasting this show? I guess they are. KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, and the latest and greatest edition, Radio Red Mercury. And if you yourself are starting to run your own showcast server, or you want some content for, say, a shortwave radio, or for anything else like that, you are more than welcome to take this show and do with it as you see fit. Yes, you dirty little monkey. First and foremost, I'd like to come across by saying thank you ever so much to everybody who started to hook me up with Tom Clancy music. I wanted to get some Tom Clancy music. Dun 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 dun. You know, and you got the guys with the MP5s that are running in there, all like, you know, got the little music and everything in the background. I enjoy that kind of music. I think it's pretty cool. And it's hard to get that kind of music. You know, I mean, you get the rock soundtrack. You only listen to the rock soundtrack for so long, but wow, what a collection of email I have received on that. Thank you very much, everyone who's sent me all kinds of links and data and information about what kind of music to get. So, in the beginning of the show here, I threw in kind of a scary little clip from my live journal. If you go to my live journal, Sean_Kennedy.LiveJournal.com, you will find the full clip about people getting chips in their head. But that one little news anchor clip, that's not something that was done in the studio. That's a real news story. And that was a real Anchorman saying, people just don't remember who they are anymore. And if that music before the clip sounded familiar, that's right, that's from Heroes, which is, I know, it's television. I had the box set DVD loaned to me. I acquired it, you know, without having to pay any licensing fees or any money or anything. But I will be going out and buying the set, the first season of Heroes, because you know what? What a great show. What a great show. Ending was a little fast, but still fantastic show. Really enjoyed it. Hopefully they don't screw that up. I think it was just great. And that was a really catchy tune by a group called Rogue Wave, Eyes. Go to their website. Go check them out. Rogue Wave is the name of the band. Eyes is the name of the song. And they're really, really cool. And it's just they used it in the show. And I didn't recognize it right away, and I don't think they're getting a lot of profit and radio play from that, so, you know, hey, they seem like a pretty good bunch of guys. Like to support them. And the song, for some reason, just kind of gets inside my head. It's sort of catchy. I don't know why that is. But, yeah, so I thought I'd put that in the beginning of the show there in that little news clip, just kind of messing around a little bit, making sure that you realize that you are, in fact, listening to a pirate broadcast. Dear Sean Kennedy, I got some feedback about the Jews! Yeah, you know it's a pirate broadcast when I start talking about the Jews. Now, I mentioned the other show that I didn't understand what the whole trip against the Jews was. The only Jews I've ever met, and when you say Jews, I mean, I feel ridiculous saying Jews, because people's, you know, is that a race? Is that a religion? Well, you hear always people talking about the Jews, right, you know? And I'm like, well, whatever, man. They're just people, whatever. They're from a certain part of the world, I guess. They got Israel. Everybody's all pissed off with Israel for some fucking reason. I guess they're upset because we made them a home after, you know, World War II, whatever. And, you know, it gets very political and all the rest of it. So the Jews, this is what it's all about. And I guess people are really mad at the Jews for some reason. And I know Hitler killed a whole lot of them, and they've been persecuted and stuff like this, I guess, for centuries. And this is what they talk about. But I've never really understood it. Like, I don't understand what's the base problem here. You know what I mean? Like, the only Jews I ever met were in a camera store in New York City. It was this really cool camera store, and it's all robot and, like, hardcore Jews with the little hats and the curlies. And I was like, wow. Well, this is the way I see it. You guys like cameras? You like robots? I like cameras and robots. We're going to be friends. And I walked up to this one guy behind the counter. I'm like, hey, so you're, like, a Jew. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah, yeah. Am I your first Jew you've met? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. And he's like, yeah, yeah. You got some nice robots here. Yeah, yeah, they're good robots. I'm like, cool. Well, I got no problem with you. He goes, right on, man. No problem. We'll see you around. So it was a pretty good exchange. You know, they seem like really nice people. So I mentioned on the air, I said, what is the freaking problem with the Jews? Everybody's always down on the Jews. So I got this feedback. Dear Sean Kennedy, about the Jews. The reason the Ishmael people have such a deep-seated hate towards the Jewish people goes back to the biblical gates. Now, I don't know who the Ishmael people are, okay? I've never met an Ishmael person. Are you an Ishmael person? No idea. Anyway, when Abraham, I guess there's some cat named Abraham, was trying to have a son with his wife, Ruth, she could not get pregnant. So Abraham had a son with a servant, and this son was named Ishmael. So Buddy was trying to have a kid. This broad, I guess his wife, couldn't have a kid. So he nails the waitress or the servant here, and creates a son named Ishmael. After a few years, Ruth got pregnant. Oh, my God. And made Abraham cast Ishmael and his mother into the desert where they wandered for many years. Apparently, this is all, like, I guess from the Bible or something. So, oh, we're going to give back the kid and kick him out to the desert. This is the story. They were taken in by nomads, and Aliyah, A-L-I-A, came to Ishmael, and he founded Islam. Well, I can't really say that I'm... Okay, so he started Islam. Okay, so this is like the Batman Joker thing. Anyway, Ruth's son was David, who founded a branch of Judaism that became the Christian faith. So I guess they're brothers. This Ishmael guy and this David guy are brothers because they come from the same father. I mean, they're stepbrothers, I guess. And one brother started, the Islam, and the other one started Christianity, I guess is how it works out. Good on you, boy. You didn't fuck that up at all. I mean, it's not like Christianity and Islam has really caused a lot of problems in the last few thousand years. Holy crap. Well done, you. Talk about mission creep. But anyway, there's more. If you want to know more, email me back right now. I'm tired and going to bed. Well, you may be tired, but not as tired as this story is. Who cares? Who gives a flying crap what happened 2,000 years ago in the desert with some cat named Abraham, Ishmael, Ruth, Aliyah? Who cares? Who cares, okay? Big Jewish dead guy on a stick. Don't care. Moses, tablets, not caring. Not really caring. Who gives a shit? We need to stop killing each other today, not for reasons that people did it like 3,000 years ago, okay? Enough's enough. All right? Everybody's sorry. I'm sorry. Listen, on the behalf of all like white Christian crazy people, you know, hey, I'm really sorry, okay? Can we get past this? Can we move on now? Can we like get over the whole holy war? You know, can we just stop killing each other? And if we're going to go to war, let's go to war for like something else. But don't get people all wrapped up in the fabric of, you know, suicide vests because they think they're going to heaven. That's just ridiculous, you know? The same goes for everybody, you know? No more crusades. No more holy wars. I mean, holy wars, there's nothing less holy than a war. I've never understood this. But for to be fighting about shit that happened like 3,000 years ago in some fairy tale, that's like Batman and Superman fans getting into a fight. I mean, you know, come on. This is ridiculous. You people are adults. I mean, I've got half a mind to go down there and bawl out a bunch of guys with beards. Seriously. Like, what are you thinking? Take the robes off. Here's 50 cents. Go get a haircut and shave that goddamn hairy face. I swear to God, you people need to grow the fuck up. Anyway, that was from TB. Thank you very much, TB. Got any more information about, you know, the whole Jewish ancient hatred thing going on there? I don't think this is a real good reason to dislike Jews. I don't understand it. I mean, you know, this one guy, the dude there, what's his name? The guy who kicked everybody out, Abraham. He sounds like a bit of a dick. But, you know, I guess. I mean, he's clearly kind of a dick. His wife sounds like like Ruth sounds like a major bitch. I mean, kicking the broad out and everything just because, you know, whatever. Oh, it's different times, though, Sean. Oh, well, if you're going to start telling me why people hate each other from different times, it's because you're another dimension. I don't know what these people are thinking. More feedback. Hey, Sean. I'm writing because I'd really like to get your opinion on a semi-short movie I found a couple of days ago. It explains how modern banking works and that money is created in debt. Yes, maybe you could give some advice on how I should get over it because I've been sort of depressed ever since I watched it. I'm hoping there's some sort of critical flaw in the facts of the film. Otherwise, I must say, oh, what's the term, in some really deep shit. Yes, it's true. You know, the way the American government works, it's really quite frightening how all this stuff pans out. So what you need to do is you need to make certain that any money that you do get, you can at least try to, you know, save your money as much as save your money. You should probably try to invest it in, like, I don't know, something that's not going to go anywhere. I'd probably invest in foreign markets if you got a lot of money. If you don't have a lot of money, don't go in debt. That's number one. They can't enslave you if you're not in debt. So for everybody who's listening who's young and they're thinking about getting their credit cards and starting to build up, you know, a credit rating and all the other bullshit slogans they use to get you guys to start, you know, spending money. No, don't spend money you don't have because that will lead to slavery. You really want the nice clothes? Slavery. Okay, do not become a slave. Try to keep your debt load under 10 grand. Okay, seriously, do not like try to keep it under a grand. You know, but you gotta, if you're gonna go in debt, go as little debt as you possibly can, because there is a big, big cash crash coming, guys. And if you owe too much money, chances are they're gonna put you in labor camps. I mean, I don't even know what they're gonna do. Okay, but it sounds like it could be bad. And everybody who's got more of an education in economics than I do is all saying the same thing. Dude, don't get in debt. If you are in debt, get the hell out of debt. Okay, debt is a bad place to be in case of a gigantic crash. Not so good. Hey, Sean, more feedback. Just listened to the latest show, and I thought I'd mention something. You suggested storing the Mojo Pack in a TrueCrypt volume. Now, this is all like a Mojo Pack. It's this little thing where you have your entire, you know, computer basically on your iPod. You plug it in, and bang, it comes up. And when you leave, you know, it doesn't leave any traces. And you'd store it in a TrueCrypt volume, which would indeed secure it, but it might kill the portability aspect. To install TrueCrypt on a machine, you need admin rights. Maybe you can get some rights to install it, but it blows any covert potential. I've tried a couple of tricks I've seen suggested, like throwing the exe config and sys files onto a flash drive, running it from that, but it doesn't work. There is a utility out there that will supposedly get around this to a degree called TXE Explore, but it can only deal with fat volumes, no NTFS. It can't handle hidden volumes. There are plenty of portable file encryption utilities out there. Toucan is even part of the portable app suite. And I've yet to find truly portable volume encryption that I trust as much as TrueCrypt. And that was from Kwame Kozalot. That's a fallout from a news story I did a while back there. We went on a big crypto thing. It's good to keep track of your data, because if people get a hold of that computer, they're going to crack that open. And if they find one single pirated song, okay, they can pretty much nail your head to the floor. Now, that's not to say that they couldn't just, you know, take a CD they got lying around, upload a bunch of tunes, and say, oh, look at this, you got pirate media, you owe us $200,000, like they did to that poor lady down in the States, okay? And for those of you who didn't wear it, the RIA won that one. Yeah, they did. They took her to the cleaners and said, yes, we, the RIA, are going to take your money. And she stood up and said, no, I think this is bullshit. And for her pain, she took $200,000 in the mouth. Wham! Have some of that. There's your reality check. We'll be in touch for the cold hard cash. More feedback. Hey, Sean! I just started a blog where I sum up and translate the stories you read into Swedish. Now, I'm going to resist the Muppet jokes here. I'm going to... I think that's great. I, you know, we're big in Sweden. We are. We're big in Sweden. This is like the second Swedish story that I've been given. I had a guy send me a bunch of... really cool psytrance from Sweden. I guess Rand Media, we're big in Sweden. That should be a new t-shirt. Anyway, it goes on to here. So the stories can reach more people. I dug into pharmafascism story from the National Institute of Mental Health and looked for something more to add to my blog. I found out that most of the experts defining mental disorders are linked to drug firms. It's nothing we didn't already know, but it's more or less proof from a pretty reliable source. Oh, and if you want to look at a bunch of gibberish, my blog is at Lamia Custos, which is lamiacustos.spaces.live.com. Now, and that's from Legion. Thank you, Legion. Unfortunately, Legion, I don't speak Swedish, and that's what your blog is written in. But I think it's very, very cool. I think it's very, very cool that you have been translating news stories into Swedish, because, come on, that's pretty cool. So let's get on with the news. In Gargoyle News... from Neal Stephenson fame, of course. Now, this is what happens when you're hooked into the web, right? Because gargoyles are permanently hooked into the web. That's from the book Snow Crash. If you haven't read Snow Crash, go read Snow Crash. Best cyberpunk novel ever written. Thanks for calling. New super secret Chinese ballistic missile Jin-class submarine docked at Zhangpingdao Naval Base in China has been discovered using Google Earth. And they give the image. If we start imagining how much vital intelligence information can be discovered in public domain by using tools like Google Earth, we may come to several assumptions. Number one, gathering intelligence is not a privilege of spooks only. It can be outsourced. Number two, well-structured intelligence gathering assignments can be managed through a freelance marketplace like Amazon Mechanical Turk, for example. And three, further development of data mining tools and exponential influx of information into public domain may create absolutely new business forms and opportunities in finding valuable intelligence in web junk. Which, of course, they've been doing this for a long time. Here's another example of sensitive documents found online. If the word sensitive proper describes a leak that can cost the lives of U.S. soldiers in Iraq, these are rather deadly sensitive documents. Now, this is pretty crazy that we have so much information floating around on the web, and you can just go out there and get it. If you're hooked in, if you know the right places to go, if you know where to look, then you'll be able to find this. You gotta know that people who are shooting at our boys over there are looking at these kind of documents. So, realistically, you might want to think a little bit before, you know, you start posting or anything about, you know, sensitive information that is online. You know what I mean? Don't put it online. If it's online anywhere, it's out there. Okay, and there's people who work around the clock, 24/7, trying to find new and exciting ways to shoot our troops overseas. Now, whether or not they should be overseas is a totally different kettle of fish, but we want them to come home, and we want them to come home alive. And, hey, you know, I understand that you don't like our troops being there, but if you're shooting at our boys, I'll shoot back. As a matter of fact, if I think you're going to shoot at the boys, I'll blow your goddamn brains all over the backstop. But that's just me, though. That's just me. I've got kind of a thing for soldiers, like cops. I enjoy soldiers. I enjoy cops. I think they're good people. I think they're, you know, right now we got the arm wielding the swords a little bit crazy right now, but I like swords, so, you know, this is where I'm at. And I'll take any, the worst Marine at Guantanamo Bay over the best psycho imam Islamo-fascist any day of the week, okay? Like, sorry, you know, even the most crazy redneck psycho... American Alabama guy can appreciate a stripper. Not the same thing can be said for the Ayatollah Khomeini. Sorry, just the truth. If you don't like strippers, no. Okay, does rednecks like the space program? Yes, they go to space. Everybody likes astronauts. Islamofascists? Space program? Cricket, cricket. No, no space program. Thank you for calling. Please take your culture and exit left. In Shadowrun news! Now, that might be cold. Some people get really upset about that when I say, you know, but that's how I judge a culture. No space program? Not interested. In Shadowrun news! Sent in by Cobra. Forensic investigations start to end. Think of it. Forensic investigations start at the end. Think of it. You wouldn't start using science and technology to establish facts. That's the dictionary definition of forensic. Unless you had some reason to establish facts in the first time. By that time, the crime has already happened. So while it's a requisite, forensics is ultimately unrewarding. A clear illustration of this fact comes from the field investigations manager for a major credit services company. Sometimes last year, he noticed a clutch of fraudulent purchases on cards he traced back to the same aquarium. He learned quite a bit through forensics. He learned, for example, the aquarium employee had downloaded an audio file while eating a sandwich on her lunch break. He'd learned that she'd played the song. A rootkit hidden inside the song installed itself on her computer. That rootkit allowed the hacker who planted and established a secure tunnel he could work undetected and get root administrator access through the aquarium network. So somebody downloaded a song, the entire network at the aquarium got pwned, and you get fired. That's how that works. Sounds like a successful investigation, but the investigator was underwhelmed by the results. Why? Because he hadn't caught the perpetrator, and he knew he never would. What's worse, the lunch break with the sandwich and the song download had occurred sometime before he got there. In fact, the hacker had captured every card transaction at the aquarium for 2 years. Almost makes you want to go back to cash, doesn't it? Investigators are beginning to wonder aloud about other networks and are right now being controlled by criminal enterprises whose presence is entirely concealed. Computer crime has shifted from a game of disruption to one of access. The computer criminals, they call them hackers, but the computer criminals' focus has shifted, too, from developing destructive payloads to circumventing detection. Now, for every tool forensic investigators have to come to rely on to discover and prosecute electronic crimes, criminals have corresponding tools to baffle the investigation. This is anti-forensics. It is more than technology. It is an approach to criminal hacking that can be summed up like this. Make it hard for them to find you, and it is possible for them to prove they found you. Interesting. Interesting. Now, anti-forensics. What an interesting profession. You know, I'm very interested in this kind of stuff. I'd like to be able to hunt people down and stuff like that through online means. Things are happening in my own, you know, life. As those of you may or may not know, I'm gainfully employed and working in the industry, in the IT industry. I was previously, I was hired on as a data center guy, and then I got promoted. And then I became a network analyst, and I guess they're moving me again. And now I'm going to be moving into a position where I hunt down people who are posting spam and child pornography and illegal content. This is a position that they have inside these large, you know, international data centers that exist. And that's going to be what my new job is in November, which is kind of funny. I mean, talk about server providing. Could you think of a better job for me? Seriously, could you think of a better job for me than to actually have me legally allowed to filter through massive networks looking for scumbags? I mean, God, I'm excited about this. This is going to be fan-fucking-tastic. I am so stoked it hurts. So this is going to be my job. Pretty cool. So this kind of stuff, anti-forensics and all that sort of jazz, is something I'm going to need to learn a little something about. Do I know anything about it? No. Do I even know how to track people online? Well, I mean, I know your basic stuff, but I mean, this is going to be something that you could really sink your teeth into. And this is an interesting field. You know, for those of you out there that have some knowledge in this, I mean, where does one go to get information like that? Where does one learn about anti-forensics? I guess you'd learn about it online. You know, it's an interesting world we live in when we have this level of Shadowrun cyberpunk technology flying back and forth. I mean, this is all about, you know, netrunners trying to hide each other's tracks and gaining access. And, I mean, wow. You know, what a huge field this is going to be. Maybe getting into IT isn't a bad idea. Maybe it's not just robotics. I mean, because I've long said that that's, you know, the future. But as Russia opens up, as India opens up, these networks are going to expand. There'll be more people online than ever before and greater chances of exploitation. So it's up to those of us within the industry to actually go above and beyond the quote-unquote call of duty and, you know, start taking a little bit of ownership in the blood in the veins of server, because that's really what we are. I know there's a lot of guys out there that work inside the industry that listen to the show. I know that. You know who you are. And it doesn't really matter what the companies we work for are. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we are gainfully employed by server to somehow keep it alive. We're like organisms. We are, in fact, the nodes of server. Everyone employed in any way by the internet is part of that. It's like, and each individual part has to, it has to support the whole. It has to keep the content good, I guess. But, I mean, some people say, well, Sean, who are you to determine what content is good? Well, this is where it gets into something sticky. And some people get excited when you start talking about who are you to deem what's good? Come on, nobody wants spam. Nobody wants child porn. If you do want child porn, shoot yourself. If you do like spam, I'm sure I can queue up people to shoot you. I mean, come on, do you have any idea how much spam I get at the newsreel inbox? Are you out of your goddamn mind? If I get one more email telling me I have a small penis, I swear to God, it's just going to kill me, okay? So, there's something to be said for people who are gainfully employed by server. That's all I'm going at with this. I think it's every now and again, you just got to stand back and you got to go, my God, we're living in an amazing time. What an amazing age we live in, where you can make money by staring into a box of light. Wow, what a concept. In killer droid news. Now, this is sent to me by V and the rest of the internet, because the minute they heard this story, they're like, oh, God, Sim, V beat you just by a few seconds. Okay, so I got to give it to V. He was the first. We're not used to thinking of them this way, but advanced military weapons are essentially robotic, picking targets out automatically, slewing into position, and waiting only for the human to pull the trigger. Most of the time. Once in a while, though, these machines start firing mysteriously on their own. What? The South African National Defense Force, which, they've got some crazy toys down there. The South African National Defense Force, same guys who brought you the 20mm rifle, okay, is probing whether a software glitch led to an anti-aircraft cannon malfunctioning and killed 9 soldiers and seriously injured 14 others during a shooting exercise. Now, how is it possible that this robot, quote-unquote, malfunctioned and started killing people? I mean, this isn't a news story. This is a science fiction movie. South African National Defense Force spokesperson Brigadier General Kwena Magopi says the cause of the malfunction is not yet known. Default robot BIOS? Did somebody kick it? I mean, come on. Media reports say the shooting exercise using live ammunition took place at the South African Army's Combat Training Center at Lohatla in Northern Cape as part of an annual force preparation endeavor. It's an endeavor. Mangopi said, told the Star, that it assumed there was a mechanical problem which led to the accident. The gun, which was fully loaded, did not fire as it normally should have. It appears as though the gun, which is computerized, jammed before there was some sort of explosion, and then it opened fire uncontrollably, killing and injuring the soldiers. Now, how did it kill 9 guys? Other reports have suggested computer error might have been to blame. Defense pundit Helmod Romer Heitman told the Weekend Argus that if the cause lay in computer error, the reason for the tragedy might never be found. Well, isn't that interesting? The anti-aircraft weapon, an Oclearon GDF-005, is designed to use passive and active radar, as well as a laser rangefinders to lock onto high-speed, low-flying aircraft, helicopters, unmanned aerial vehicles, cruise missiles. In automatic mode, the weapon feeds target data to the fire control unit straight to the pair of the 35mm guns. It reloads on its own when it empties its magazine. This is a sentry cannon. Is what this is. This is a big, bad sentry cannon. Electronic engineers and defense company CEO Richard Young says he can't believe the incident was purely a mechanical fault. Yeah, I'm having problems with that, too. He says the company in the mid-90s was involved in 2 air defense artillery upgrade programs dubbed Projects Catchy and Dart. During the shooting trials at Arms Corps Ankenantpan shooting range, I'm no good with African names, I personally saw the gun go out of control several times, Young says. They made a temporary rig consisting of 2 steel poles on each side of the weapon and a rope in between to keep the weapon from swinging. The weapon eventually knocked the poles down. Jesus Christ. You know, you might want to get control of the Mad Robot Sentry Cannon. Just sort of a guideline. According to the Star, a female artillery officer risked her life. I don't know why they specified a female artillery officer, because I guess female artillery officers are not able to risk their lives or something. But they made a point of saying it was a woman, though. A female artillery officer risked her life in a desperate bid to save members of her battery from the gun. But the brave, as yet unnamed officer, was unable to stop the wildly swinging computerized Swiss-German Oloron-Kahn 35mm Mark V anti-aircraft twin-barreled guns. It sprays hundreds of high-explosive 0.5-kilogram 35mm cannon shells around the five-gun firing position. So they mentioned here that she tried to stop it, but it wasted her. So robot gun one, artillery zero. By the time the gun had emptied its twin 250-round autoloader magazines, nine soldiers were dead and 11 injured. Holy shit! Holy shit! And it's weird that they put that in there about online. And there was a woman there, and she tried to stop it, but the robot wasn't having any of it and blew her straight to Kingdom Come. I mean, this is... I'm not trying to make light of this, okay? Because this is really crazy. Why is a robot sentry cannon with 35mm projectiles have the ability to auto-fire and just go buck wild over on the gun platform? Okay? Like, that seems a little bit psycho to me. Maybe I'm out of touch, but, you know... I'd like to at least have, you know, someone in the number two position pulling a lanyard. That's just from my own particular Herbie point of view. In holodeck news, thanks to JW, Iowa State is ready to unveil the most realistic virtual reality room in the world. Now, this is cool stuff. This is cool stuff. If you're high above Desert Peaks, your aircraft is approaching their targets. Information from instruments, cameras, and radar is before your eyes. With the help of 100 million pixels of bright, vivid virtual reality, you're in control of a swarm of U.S. Air Force unmanned aerial vehicles. Wait! Stop! You're training people to train an entire swarm of UAVs. Isn't that interesting? That virtual battle space will be just one of the applications you could experience when Iowa State University's Virtual Reality Application Center unveils its improved virtual reality room on April 26th. The demonstrations will show the room's new abilities to produce virtual reality at the world's highest resolution. Crews have recently completed a nearly $5 million in equipment upgrades to C6 and the technology that operates it. Iowa State C6 now projects more than twice the resolution produced by any other virtual reality room in the world. It projects 16 times the pixels produced by the original C6. Iowa State C6 opened in June 2000 as the country's first six-sided virtual reality room. Designated to immerse users in images and sound, the graphics and projection technology has made such immersions possible. Hasn't been updated since the C6 opened, so it hasn't been updated in 7 years. The difference between the original equipment and the updated technology is like putting on your glasses in the morning, said James Oliver, director of the Iowa State's Virtual Reality Application Center and professor of mechanical engineering. Well, you know, of course he's going to say it's like the next coming. The newest equipment, a Hewlett-Packard computer cluster featuring 96 graphics processor units, yada, 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 yada. Of course, they're going to be using this for all kinds of stuff from diving, hovercraft, you know, it's pretty interesting stuff. But it goes on to say, in addition to showing off the C6, the Emerging Technologies Conference at Iowa State, April 25th to 27th, will feature displays and demonstrations of student research products. There will be presentations by three authors and a vice president for Yahoo Research in House Halls Alliant Energy Lee Lou Auditorium. So if you're in Iowa, you might want to check this out, because Don Norman's going to be there, which is cool. Neal Stephenson is going to be there on April 25th, who wrote, again, Snow Crash, best cyberpunk novel ever written. If anyone goes there, could you please send me a copy of an autographed copy of Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash to Sean Kennedy? Make him say I'm cool or something, because he's really cool. I think that's really cool. But go check out that link. Very, very cool. And any place that has, you know, more holotechs are cool. I mean, who doesn't really want the holodeck? It's more than just, you know, a nifty plot device for the Star Trek shows. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on with holodecks. Who doesn't want a holodeck? I know I do. I want a holodeck and the good people at Vivid Video to set up a scenario for me to spend the rest of my life in there. But we need a good cover. My wife will never go for it. In Mud Mall News from Tong Chop. Now, I know I tell people that we need to start getting along. I know that. I know that, and I know I should stop calling, you know, all these crazy, you know, organizations, mud hut religions. But the difference between faith and mud hut religion, if you're trying to make money off of people's belief system, okay, and you're like, it just somehow, like, there's a weird kind of taint to it, you know? So, I mean, you know, I can understand passing around a collection plate if you're giving them a good show or whatever. I mean, that's kind of understood. You're just basically begging, you know? I can understand that. I do that myself. But when you insist that people tithe to you, where they have to give a certain amount of money to you, otherwise God doesn't love you or some shit like that, that's when I go, you're an exploitative piece of shit. Now, if you were to take that one step further, you're thinking, well, Sean, where would you go with this? What else could the church do? What if the church opened a mall? Yeah, that's right, like a church mall, where you come and worship at the mall, and the whole mall is a church. One of Oregon's, Tong Chop sent me this, who's just back in the country, glad to have you home, Tong. One of Oregon's highest profile churches plans to tear down its landmark sanctuary and join a developer to create a village-style convergence of commerce and religion. Does anybody else think this is an exceptionally bad idea? There is no need out here for community gathering places. There's such a need out here for community gathering places, said Ray Coton, lead pastor of the 3,500-member New Hope Community Church in Clackamas County. It doesn't matter whether it's sacred or secular. Churches across the country have used new designs to appeal to changing consumer tastes in recent years. That's right. Come to the church that's in vogue. But developers say New Hope could become the first to reinvent itself as a civic center fully integrated into commercial complexes. Yeah, I bet you they're going to be selling all kinds of music in there with tipper stickers on them. Plans call for the church, complete with independent shops, a sky bridge to adjoining a health club where you can work out for Jesus. Sweating to the Old Testament. That you anchor Eagle Landing and assembly of stores, condos, offices, restaurants, a hotel, fountains and plazas. Shit, they got stores and condos? You could work there, you could live there, you could never leave church. You're guaranteed salvation. You're guaranteed. You got the receipt, motherfucker. New Hope's plan catered to some people who like to gather with a small group of friends at Starbucks. Said Bryce Einemann, Vice President and General Manager of Aspen Group, a Chicago-based church design and architecture firm. That's what we do. We build churches. For the past 20 or 30 years, churches were built as attractions with huge auditoriums and performance-based services appealing to baby boomers who grew up in the broadcast age. Eisman said the New Hope epitomized the format with its neon cross perched above the Interstate 205 and its 2,800-seat sanctuary. Somehow, I feel that there's a Leonard Cohen song brewing here. Eisman now sees a national trend towards multi-venue approach, with churches appealing to the taste of post-boomer generations. The post-boomer generations. How fallout is that? By offering a more intimate spaces and broader range of meeting times and formats. Worship can involve a few people gathered in a cafe-style discussion rather than thousands lined up in an auditorium. Eagle Landing follows a pattern of 19th-century European villages where a community was framed around the local church. Wow, there's a time we want to go back to, hey? We're bringing it back in an integrated way. It pulls together, unlike any other place in the country, all those things that typically used to make up a town. I bet you Spencer Gifts is not going to be there. You know, I bet you that, I bet you the music stores in there are going to fucking suck. I bet you it's going to be pretty hard to get a movie in there. You know, one that's not, you know, completely crazy. Now, things like this have freaked me out. There's a movie. You can watch it in parts if you go online. I couldn't find a direct link to the whole film. And I've talked about this film before, but you need to download and watch Jesus Camp. But be advised, man, be advised. Like this, there's parts of the movie I cannot watch. Okay, when the pro-life section comes on, I cannot watch it. I get so psycho that I can't watch it. I mean, it is not a nice film. It is a film documenting severe mindfuck child abuse of beautiful children that are just being manipulated and destroyed. It's a sick and twisted thing, and it's an example of exploitation, which is sad. Which is sad, because you know what? Christianity could be a beautiful thing, just like Islam, just like Judaism, provided we stop shooting each other! You know, just stop it! Fuck! Listen, I had a message from God. His message was, stop killing each other!
I don't give a fuck why you're doing it. I don't care. I don't care whose land it is. Stop killing each other. That's the deal. That's what he said. Fuck. I mean, go figure. But it's the word of God, so you got to do as he says, okay? So everybody, just stop fucking shooting each other for 20 minutes, all right? Just cut it out. Like, make it for fucking Christmas or something. Like, it's not going to bring anybody who's dead back. You know, if your family's dead because they killed them, well, fuck, man. Sorry, but you got to stop sometime. Anyway, OnStar. Now, some people are going to come back at me. I know this because they're going to be like, well, Sean, you were just talking about shooting people who are going to shoot your soldiers. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. It's true. I did. That's a self-defense thing. I understand that. You know, if a guy's going to shoot you, I think you should be able to shoot him first. If a guy shoots my wife in front of me, chances are I'm going to check the guy out. You know, I wish I would have the strength. You know, remember that when that Amish guy, sorry to just go off on a tangent here, but you remember when that Amish cat, you know, the guy went and shot all those little girls in the school, went to this Amish schoolhouse and shot like seven little beautiful Amish children. You know, sickness, deranged, misfit motherfucker did this. Okay, do you know what the Amish people did? This is unreal. They went to the widow, the guy, because he died, right? They go to the guy's wife. This is the guy who killed their kids, okay? They go to his wife and they set up a fund to make sure his wife was looked after. They went to the murderer's wife and said they were sorry. They felt their loss. There was instant and absolute forgiveness right then and there. And I look at that and I go, wow. You know, what kind of courage? I mean, I can't even approach that mindset. Like, man, that is some badass shit right there. I can't believe that. That they would do that, you know? I mean, wow. I mean, how much more strength does that take? Wrap your head around that. Do a little search on that. Find out what these people did. I mean, it's not bullshit. This wasn't lip service either, man. Like, these people, you know, there's something to be said for that. Maybe there's some grace there. Maybe there's something there that says that maybe we can actually, you know, get out of the Middle East, you know, stop it so that, you know, everybody stops shooting for just a little while. Everybody just goes back to their goddamn corners and we can figure out what the fuck is going on without, you know, more and more innocent children dying. Just an idea. Just a concept here. In Skynet news, thank you very much to Madar. OnStar. Everybody knows about OnStar. OnStar, a little thing, goes in your car, unlocks your keys, in which case if you lock yourself in the car with your keys, and you call it BlondStar. But anyway, OnStar debuted a new service today for its subscribers that allows the company to remotely slow down your vehicle if it's been stolen. And the cops are in pursuit. So if the cops chasing you, they can call up OnStar and say, hey, kill the car. Dubbed Stolen Vehicle Slowdown. Why the fuck would they call it slowdown? Why don't you just kill the car? Why don't you just say the stolen vehicle? Of course, they got to have stolen vehicle in there right away because they don't want you to think they're going to turn it off without your knowledge, right? Like if you owe too much money or something. The new technology works with an already available stolen vehicle location assistant to help local police alert and then gradually slow down your vehicle in a chase. OnStar is able to remotely send a signal to your car's engine management system to reduce the engine's power gradually so a perp on the run will suddenly find the throttle less and less responsive. It won't prevent the criminal from crashing your new CTS into a pole, but it will end a hot pursuit much quicker than the cops could do it alone and therefore reduce the risk of a high-speed accident that could injure innocent bystanders. Very good idea, right? Stolen vehicle slowdown sounds pretty trick and certainly useful, but it's an additional service that will likely be available in an optional package, though OnStar didn't mention any pricing details. Also, perhaps we're just being a bit paranoid, but it's a little unsettling to know that a service center rep in a cubicle somewhere has the ability to disable your engine at a moment's notice. We wonder if there's a slippery slope here that should be considered. For instance, can the servants be used against the owner of the car who's paying for it? We can imagine a situation where a divorced parent abducts his own unborn child and takes off in the 2009 Malibu equipped with OnStar. The cops give pursuit, realize the car is equipped with OnStar. Could law enforcement then contact OnStar without the subscriber's permission if she or she is breaking law and giving pursuit? It's something to think about before you subscribe to the question OnStar should answer before the case arises. Then, of course, it adds a question, well, would you have a problem with that? If guy's abducting the kid, right? Can you abduct your own children? Holy shit. Is that a can of worms? That is a huge can of worms, abducting your own kids. You know, I mean, now we're getting to the point where you have to look at, you know, individual, you know, sort of choices and assessments here. And talking about crazy and head voice news, as in voices in your head news, thanks to Mookie, researchers in California report developing the world's first working radio system that receives radio waves wirelessly and converts them into sound signals through nano-sized detector made of carbon nanotubes. The carbon nanotube radio, now here's the rub, here's the real money. The carbon nanotube radio device is thousands of times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. The development marks an important step in the evolution of nanoelectronics and could lead to the production of the world's smallest radio, scientists say. The findings appear online and are scheduled for publication November 14th, print of American Chemical Society. Now, you look at this and, okay, they don't have the radio yet, but this is something I look at and I go, holy shit. I mean, what would it be for somebody to go get a little bit of devil's breath, puff, throw it in some dude's face, he cracks out, you take one of these tiny, 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 tiny sliver-sized radios, take a little, you know, applicator, looks like a Bic pen, put it in his ear, jack it in the air, and now he's hearing voices. And these voices are telling him to do all kinds of crazy shit. I mean, what kind of application could you have with something like that? What sort of application would there be for a micro-sized radio? You know, could you get paid that way? Could you make it so you get an extra $50 a month to have constant commercials running in your head? Wow, check me out as I get my whole head in front of the shotgun. Craziness. Craziness. Now, speaking of craziness and voices in your head, I would never thought that this would have occurred. And I promise you, the founding fathers of the United States and the Statue of Liberty had no idea that this kind of shit would happen. Illegal feeding news. You've seen the signs. Don't feed the bears, the pigeons, whatever. But for God's sakes, don't feed homeless people because they're not even fucking people. They're like a scourge. They're like varmints and rats and shit. A controversial city ordinance has led to a number of protesters now a trial, which they were found innocent, by the way. An Orlando man is the first person to face a jury for feeding the homeless. It's the first trial of its kind. A man facing a judge and jury for violating Orlando's ban on feeding the homeless. Eric Montez, 22, young guy obviously, was caught feeding a group in Lake Eloa Park earlier this year. The prosecution told Eyewitness News that their case rests on videotaping a Montague's feeding the homeless, breaking Orlando's feeding ban. Jesus fucking Christ, guys, he's just giving a couple people some food. It's food. There's a lot better things for law enforcement to do in this town, but this was an outrage, said George Crossley of the ACLU. Yeah, no kidding. Montananas and a small group of supporters marched from the Lake Eloa Park to the Orange County on Monday morning. We're ready to take this on. Of course he is. I mean, shit, it's pretty hard to crucify a guy for feeding homeless people. Montananas and his group he's involved with, Food Not Bombs, returned to Lake Eloa just after sunrise, once again to violate the ordinance that has him on trial. Food Not Bombs volunteers several breakfasts to about 100 Montanez supporters, most of them homeless. They will serve breakfast, lunch, dinner during the time they're calling they will serve breakfast, lunch, dinner during what they're calling a 3-day ladle fest, not a protest. Me personally, I think it's discrimination for one, said Lamont Robinson, a homeless man. Yeah, it's discrimination. Well, I mean, on one hand, I can sit back and I can say, yeah, I know why they're doing it. I know why they're doing it. They're doing it because they don't want to have homeless people running around. You know what I mean? They don't want to, you know, have undesirables in the area. There's somebody said for that. I mean, you don't want to have, you know, if you like, for example, you walk down the street, homeless guy comes up and he says, give me some money. You give him $5. First of all, that $5 is probably going to contribute to the cause that made him homeless in the first place, for starters. And furthermore, every other homeless guy is going to make you as a mark. We just had a guy in Vancouver here. He was a doctor. He used to give this guy $5 every day. He'd wait for him outside the church. Guy come outside. He'd give him $5. You know, he's a doctor. This is what he did. You know, well, I'm going to give this homeless guy $5. I do it every day. It's my little bit of charity. Of course, then the homeless guy turned on him, stabbed him, took his wallet, and fucked off one day because he wanted all the money at once. Goose laid the golden eggs and all that good stuff. But that's why some of these homeless people are crazy. Now, aside from that, I can understand why a law like that was, you know, somebody thought it was a good idea, but you can't stop people from feeding fellow human beings. It's a problem. It's a problem. And now, we all knew the day would come. We all knew the day would come, but in Newsgroup News, thank you very much to Wyandi for sending this story in. The first rule about Newsgroup lawsuits is you do not talk about Newsgroup lawsuits. The Recording Industry Association of America is taking aim at the Usenet newsgroup providers, those though, has only targeted one particular company so far. The RIA filed a lawsuit against Usenet.com on October 12th, claiming that the news group harbors millions of copyrighted sound recordings. Good Lord. Usenet is a relatively centralized method for users to distribute files and messages created before the internet peer-to-peer technology was created. Unlike traditional peer-to-peer networks, Usenet hosts files on hub servers, on internet backbones instead of client nodes. This advantage gives news groups extremely fast download speeds, but a steep learning curve and limited access to keep the user base relatively low. The protocol has stayed relatively under the radar in the wake of Napster, Kazaa, and other P2P networks. Even though the popularity of Usenet has been on decline since the late 90s, the service never fully died out and remains popular for images, videos, and binary file sharing. According to the legal brief, the defendant Usenet provides essentially the same functionality of that of a P2P service such as Napster, Aimster, Grokster, and Kazaa did prior to being enjoined by the federal courts. Knowingly providing the site facilities for users to upload and download their copyrighted works, except that defendant goes further than even the P2P services, facilitating to encourage copyright infringements by its users. You can actually see the lawsuit on Wired.com in a PDF. The RIAA seeks an unspecified monetary damages and injunctive relief for copyright infringement. Marketing on the Usenet.com website likely does not help its case against the RIAA. Shh, quiet. We believe it's no one's business but your own what you do on the internet or Usenet. We don't track user activity, is what they said. The RIAA's up and down battle against file sharing continues, both with battle victories and losses. The RIAA won a civil court in Minnesota woman who must now pay $222,000 worth of damage to the record industry. What I would do personally there is I would just simply give away all my stuff to trusted sources and then declare bankruptcy and say, fuck yeah, you ain't getting shit. In addition, more than 400 pre-litigation letters have been sent by the RIAA to 19 U.S. universities across the country. Example of a letter sent to an alleged file sharer is available on Educase and also in a PDF. Isn't that absolutely insane? I never thought I'd see the day when the news groups would be attacked by the RIAA, but that day has come. Same newsreel episode when robots start going crazy and Sean's defending the Jews. You know what a crazy world we live in. And the funny thing is, I know I'm going to get a lot of people sending me emails saying, Sean, you rip on Islamofascists, but you don't rip on the Jews. Even though the Jews are over there, they got the wall, they're doing some crazy stuff, la, la, la. Okay. You know, it's not about the religion. It's not about your faith. Actually, it is about the religion. It's not about your faith. It's about the religion. It's when people start taking dogma that's applied to, like, massive, you know, anybody who wants to cipher some old scripts and say that this somehow gives you the right to kill somebody because of the Bible or because of the Torah or because of the Koran, that's just fucking psychotic, okay? And if I have to, you know, go before the great judge of whatever, the Who's It's and the Great Spaghetti Monster, and they, you know, hear that they play this particular sound clip, I'm sure they're going to be like, yeah, well, he's essentially right. So, yeah. You know, me and all the gods had a meeting, and they really want everyone to stop killing each other. That's just me, though. Let's get on to the... Well, it's not just me. I'm just... Don't kill the messenger! Daily Hack. Get your FBI file from Felicar. Thank you very much, Felicar. This website helps you generate letters that you need to send to the FBI to get a copy of your own FBI file. Very, very smart. We can help you get your files from other three-letter agencies, CIA, NSA, DIA, too. It's quick, it's easy, and best of all, it's free! Just click on the green arrow to get started. Very, very cool. And got a little bit of Recomedia for you. I got big dollars. Thanks to Sinusoid in Sweden, who sent me some awesome music. You rule. And remember the spider goats or the goat spiders or spider goats or whatever it was? We had some cool on the old, it was the old Sean Kennedy show. We had some Photoshops even done with the spider goats. Well, Artificial Soul found a link with actual pictures of real spider goats. For those of you feeling nostalgic, go to the Recommendia link. You'll see it there. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free broadcast. Well, podcast. Brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate, then please do distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by going to the Dark Atlas website, click on the Donate tab, top right, hot link, or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios. Box 18121, 1215 C 56 Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you'd like to send me, You can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L @rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check out a band called Space Cat. The album is Mechanical Dream. Some good Goa psytrance. And of course, I'm going to fade out now with a new track from the new KMFDM album, and it's really, really cool. Thank you, everyone, for standing up, downloading the show, and distributing this, because you know what? There may come a day when I am the last voice left, which I hope that's not it, but I hope I'm not the last DJ. I would encourage everyone to be like Smokehouse, Risen, come up with a show like RizWords. Start broadcasting. We need more free media out there. If you haven't listened, download, listen to RizWords. Go check it out. I linked to Smokey's blog from my page. You can go check it out. They got a good show there. They broadcast. They try to broadcast every day. It's hard to do. Trust me, I know. It's hard to do. Download their show. You know, click on a couple of their sponsors' links. These guys are doing the best they can. Buddy's got a new baby, for crying out loud. I don't even know how he managed to pull it off with a new baby. I mean, that's just insane. But anyway, shouts to all the DJs out there. Thank you so much for keep on keeping on. We will win this thing, just in case you're wondering. We will never defeat the energy if we are at each other's throats. So we have to do what all the different versions and all the different names of God said, and that is to seek peace with your brother. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Come on to me.